Can you create a shift in your efficiency in 1 week?
I think distraction is the biggest problem.
Anyone that tells me how well they multitask, I would like to say, okay, I will give you two tasks, two. Go right ahead. Do them simultaneously. And you will end up with two mediocre outcomes.
Join me as I take on the challenge of boosting my peak performance to CEO levels in just 1 week. CEOs, 77% of CEOs report they get enough sleep, and they also are 36% more likely to take naps during the day than non-managerial staff.
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schuller.
And I'm joined by Stephen J. Manning. We're gonna go through this topic in the next 15, 20 minutes and hopefully leave you with some tips on how to get peak performance, how to deliver more for the company that you're working for or for your own business. And obviously, the importance of peak performance in success is in achieving success is just huge, especially in leadership roles like CEOs. So in the days of the internet, things have become a lot more difficult. We have things are just happening a lot faster. We have internal struggles. We have procrastination, often rooted in the fear of failure, perfectionism, preventing action. But we also have external distractions, which can be anywhere, right? But emails, social media, all of these are external distractions. So I'm quite excited, Steve, to talk to you about this because I know you know a lot about this. So what do you think? Do you think it's realistic? Do you think I can boost my performance in 1 week?
Well, I think anything is possible. The question I have is how likely is it? In some respects, it's very likely. In other respects, it's not. The reason I say that is because my perspective, man, I have been at it for decades trying to achieve what you're trying to achieve. And I look at it as very much a Lego set of building block. In my entire career, because that's what you asked for a while ago, I can relate to one or two incidents where I ended up boosting my relevance, my output, if you will, in a quantum manner, maybe just twice or so, as opposed to developing it into developing over sometimes short time, but typically a longer time. So much of my life is deductive. There are a lot of brilliant people out there that I could listen to, talk to, read, that can lead the way for me so I can follow in their footsteps. Every once in a while, we are fortunate. All of us are if we look for it. You know, the part about don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Well, you can't look it in the mouth, you can't find a horse. Look for the darn horse. Then you might find a gift in the gift horse mouth. Every once in a while, you come to crossroads, some kind of confluence of events that creates this incredible opportunity that, excuse me, in the vernacular does, in fact, separate the wood from the chaff, where some people rise. They see the opportunity rise and ride that comet, if you will. And that has happened to me just a couple times, sometime one time in what ended up being really relevant instantly and great relevance. And once it was just an incredible process that developed over a short time to where ultimately I benefited from as a leader, if you will. So listen, everything for me is a testable hypothesis. Maybe you're 100% right. And in a week, we can really quantumly change our efficiency, our leadership efficiency. Our skill sets you develop, you buy, you acquire, you experience, you grow to, you know, to me, skill sets are always secondary to attitude. As I've said, I've had the good fortune to be an employee to some really amazing companies and people, consultant to some amazing companies. And then I've also had the good fortune to be a leader in some. So I learned from a lot of people. I've learned sometimes as much from the young man who parked my car in the office building as I did from a Nobel laureate literature. So again, my mantra is you can learn from everybody you talk to, even some people that should be institutionalized. And all of that, you need to walk away with things like, well, that's something I should know how to do better, and that's something I should never do. And I'll stop talking. I'll tell you there's an exception when it comes to parents. I just wrote a whole piece about the influence of parents on our leadership skills. This is for leadership seminar for college professors. And the word to the wise, we all had this experience growing up. And this is where it blows up. Growing up, of course, I was a contrarian to my parents, my father particularly, being what he was, incredibly brilliant and totally argumentative and all that. And I said, I will never say that to my kids. I will never compel my kids to that. Never. Cut to my boss for many years in the company I grew up in, who I said 100 times, I will, when I become the big boss, I will never do that. I will never ask that. I will never say that. Never. To find out that as the years progress, I stopped my tracks. I just said that to my own kids the ninth time. When I said to the people I work with or work for me, that I said, that boss, never. Well, that boss made $1 billion doing what he did. So there has to be flexibility built into your psyche to bend, to make those incredible 90-degree turns that sometimes you make that progress to greatness. So I think I've answered your question.
Right. So what you're talking about is like a cataclysmic shift in how you do something, which changes your productivity so that you can become really productive, right? And from where I'm sitting at the moment, I think distraction is the biggest problem in certainly in my world. And a lot of the people that I sort of speak to, they have notifications switched on their devices, and people message them all the time, and then that distracts them because it takes something like 24 minutes to refocus back onto the task that you were just doing. So if you're distracted all the time, I don't understand how you can actually be concentrating or focused on the task in hand, you know?
You know, it's a funny thing. I'll go back to the core question. The thing about multitasking, I think that anyone that tells me how well they multitask, I would like to say, okay, I will give you two tasks, two. Go right ahead. Do them simultaneously, and you will end up with two mediocre outcomes. Now,
right.
Without a doubt, you know, on my door to my studio here, there is, in fact, a big red thing that big that says, don't knock on the door. Don't open the door because I want to focus on my conversation with Schooler. Now, right. We talk a lot about the need to detox your ward from electronics, for example. With due reality, I'm not that important. If I'm not up to instant date on news, the world is not going to change, nor will mine. But I have to, because I'm addicted to it. We talk about electronics being electronic technology being the new amphetamine. The minute the cell phone goes off while I'm writing something, you're 100% accurate. My efficiency, my thought process, absolutely go in the tank. I can multitask. I can write and listen at the same time. I can take in a lecture at the same time. I can, but I discontinue relevant conversations, talks, recorded, when I know that on the other side of my camera, somebody's checking a phone. We've talked about this. You have to teach yourself to divorce yourself from that little screen, the endorphins that screen launches in people's minds because it feels they're relevant, they're contributing, they're part of the fabric. No. How about doing this test now? And then you want to do that? Do that for an hour. You and I have talked about this before. I've taken phones away from people in meetings and threw them across the room or dumped them in diet soda because I'm not here to watch you read email. So you couldn't be more right in that there are some people can multitask doing some things. Yes, we can think and chew gum. That's a proverbial thing. Gee, I can talk to you and chew gum at the same time. Yeah, well, you mean while you're talking to me, you can also flex your jaw muscles chewing a 24-cent piece of gum. Ooh, what an accomplishment. Maybe you should be nominated for Nobel for that. You could be. I mean, you can nominate a ham sandwich for Nobel Prize. But you are absolutely right. Can you create a shift in your efficiency in 1 week? I'm pondering that because when you first said it, I said, no, forget it. It takes 10 days to break an ordinary habit. The answer is I'm 100% wrong on reflection. There are things we habitually do right now. Let's just not do that for a week. See what happens. Even just doing your job. What happens if you say for 3 hours a day, from 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, I turn this off. For 10 hours a day, I discontinue the use of everything. I have a screen because I have to write this. I have some data I have to analyze.
Mm-hmm.
And the clarity that you will develop, it will take a day or two because all day long, the first day or two, you're hoping something will happen. If it's not happening, you turn the darn thing off. I'm messing with something called swimming in silence. Dr. Krishna Bhatta came up with that. It's nothing more than clearing your brain, your mind, for 10 minutes a day of every thought disassociated with just one that you're trying to focus on. That's the second step. The first step is just clear your mind. Thoughts come across, like get rid of them, and you find out the 10 minutes takes about 1 minute. Phew, goes right by. And at some point, you convert that to, okay, for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to think about exactly one thing. Do I like the design on schooler's shirt? And you know what? I'll find that after a couple of days, I can write 1,000 words on that in a heartbeat. So I think you're right. You can. But that requires a degree of discipline that something's going to beat into you one way or another. You are smart enough, disciplined enough to actually do that. You know, of course, the most amazing thing is when I get the third text in 40 minutes, you haven't responded to my email. I guess I have spoiled too many people by being available 24 hours a day. And then I need to learn to say, I respond to all my emails. It may just take me a couple of hours. Oh, well, okay. A client said to me, how's that going to work out? I said, well, you managed to be doing $4 billion a year without me responding instantly. Perhaps you can still do that if I respond in 4 hours. But I have come in the last 10 minutes, I've come around to your possibility of changing something over a week that'll make you a much more focused, much more powerful leader. In my life, as I said, a couple of instances where my life just changed as a leader, and I became far more useful to everyone I led, and far more powerful, if you will, in my life, small or big, whatever it was. That will happen. Back to horses. Again, don't look gift horse in the mouth. Well, you know what? Look for the horse, and then look in its mouth. You know, you can't sit there hoping lightning will strike or the muse will sit on your shoulder and you write the new Great Gatsby book. Not going to happen. But you can make the changes the schooler will tell you to make. And get there. If it takes you a week, awesome. So what if it takes 2 weeks? It is life-changing.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting what you just said, actually. What you just said, there's so much to unpack there. I'm not gonna go through all of it because you just said so much. But I actually think that the major issue is one of the endorphin flow from the social media, from the email, from the messages, from being important, from feeling important, from getting these notifications that boost your self-esteem. They boost how you feel, right? So what you said there is very close to actually having a phantom notification syndrome. They've actually proven on your phone that your phone actually goes off and you believe that you have a notification when it's not even notifying you of anything, right? Which I think is fascinating. But so you almost need to go through a bit of a digital detox, much like we did yesterday. I went out with my friend on a boat. I probably hardly used my phone at all. Probably used my phone. I had 67% battery at 3 p.m. And my friend was like, I've used all my battery. Can I use your phone to use Spotify, right? And all I did was take some pictures. That's all I did. I probably checked Twitter once. Probably checked my WhatsApp once or twice. But it's dealing with something that's so ingrained in your brain that you're right in terms of it's discipline. It has to be discipline, right? Because I think once we add up the amount of time that we're actually using these devices for, we probably would be very, very surprised. I mean, I manage some screen time for my daughter, and she spends a considerable number of hours on a phone. But if I looked at my screen time, it's probably worse than hers recently, because I've kind of got caught up in the emotions of what's been going on in the world and having conversations. So I think I'm really hell bent on making this work in the next week, and I will build some habits that I will tell people about.
I would like to tell our fine audience, and thank you for listening and watching, I invite you to pick up an extra talk Nathaniel and I did on the efficacy of wasting time. We did 35 minutes on wasting time and how relevant that is. Now, how do you waste time? I will tell you what, if your body at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday says you got to close your eyes, man, you're running on low, you're running on empty. That's not wasting time, that's recharging the battery. But that's not where we want. We want it to activities while we are wasting time. Yesterday was a unique day. For about 3.5 or 4 hours, I accomplished something remarkable, which I used to do all the time. But these days, my typical day is 16 hours, maybe more. Happily, 16 hours of great stuff, great work, a lot of reading, talking, writing, and all that. I accomplished something remarkable yesterday that I haven't done in maybe 3 months. And I resolved to do that again and again and again. I fully intended to work most of the day. I managed about an hour of that. And then somewhere, the switch, I don't know where it is, the psyche said, maybe not. So there's a Sunday where I sit outside, and I love music. I have a lot of music, and I cranked up my little outdoor speaker, which is a marvel of technology. I could blow the windows out somebody's house across the street. I didn't crank it up much because there were all people around, and I listened to 3 or 3.5 hours of music. I just sat there with my little device, and I kept punching pieces of music I'd want to listen to the 19th, 20th, 30th time. And I did not check email. I did not look at the news because the world is just as screwed up 3.5 hours later than when I left it. And I handled exactly one text message where I got a text message from my wife. So she's on her way back from her 19-hour workout that day. And beyond, I said, great, I'm outside. And beyond that, to me, the world was dead. But for the amazing artists I listened to, So great stuff, obscure stuff. And I ran, which I find fascinating for me, I ran a whole gamut of emotions throughout listening to the music, from happy to sad to challenge. Music speaks to me, and that's the kind of, I listen to a lot of that stuff. So, you know what? Guess what? At the late afternoon Sunday, the world was just as screwed up as it was early in the morning. You and I did publish another influencer this morning, which in my humble opinion is spectacular, to the point, hard-hitting. If you don't read it, read it. And if you don't act on it, humbly, you do that at your own peril. Because we're talking about challenges in life. And we're not talking heads. This is five challenges that we all face one way or another. We tell you this is what we think it is, and then we come up with tasks and timelines. Week one, do this. Days 9 and 10, do this. And here are expected outcomes. If you fail the expected outcomes, you just didn't follow the road. We laid down the map. Not everything is for everybody. There's something there for everyone. Certainly for me, writing it, my clique lights went on. Wait a minute. Is it dishonest to write and tell you this is what we think you should do, and I'm not doing it? Okay, so that goes into the to-do list for today. I learned from the influencer we wrote that you all have in your mailbox today. If that's not worth a $1 investment, you don't know anything about investments. Anyway, enough of promoting something. It's not self-promotion. It's promoting something that we think is genuinely worthwhile. To your point, I keep going back to what I said last week. It's an amazing thing to get an email from a person that's got an MBA from an Ivy League, out of the, it was Marine Corps colonel, out of Naval Academy, retired, young man, 50, read something we wrote, changed my life. I'm going to do that because it changed my life. Hey, listen, all the work that went into that, it's worthwhile. Just yeah. One guy, worthwhile. Anyway, go ahead, Nathaniel. I've come around to you saying, yeah.
Well, I think, yeah. Thanks, Steve. I think the most important thing is finding something that's going to break. It's going to break that habit of checking your phone and playing with your apps. And I think actually finding, if you're really super addicted to checking your phone, then you're picking it up, you know, all the time and you're getting lots of notifications. I think first thing is switch off all non-essential notifications is a great thing to do. I think also find some sort of hobby that's going to remove you from actually needing that technology for an hour, I think is a good, or even half an hour, is a good place to start. I also think music is another great thing to do. I think that fresh air is very important. But, you know, go back and listen to Wasting Time, because there are benefits of wasting time, and recharging is absolutely crucial. And if you want to go and get your Monday Influencer, your $1 trial, you should do that, because we have masses and masses of great content that we're releasing there. We have a career advisory service in there. We have the weekly digests and abstracts that come every week. And it's really life-changing for people. We've had so many people that write into us and they love what we're doing at MondayInfluencer.com that it's actually very rewarding, not to mention the 20% of income that we give to children in need every year. So it's great. If you're listening to this, you should definitely go and check that out, and you can get more from Stephen and I and all of our great expert contributors. Thank you, Steve.
And thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And do reach out to us if you want to comment on this video. Let us know what productivity tips you are working for you. Love to hear about that. And I'll tell you my progress next week.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.